On the show today, we have Backbase's very own Vince Besmer talking about how banks and credit unions can adapt to adequately serve and attract Gen Z, and it revolves all around digital, so check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Vince Besmer from Backbase. Vince, how are you, sir? Welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. You were just telling me before the recording that you're calling all the way from the Netherlands. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, my home country. It's I got the rare opportunity to spend the whole summer here.
Awesome.
So if you hear some seagulls and all that stuff in the background, sorry.
we'll just make believe we're at the beach. So how about that? So good stuff. Well, I'm glad you got to spend a lot of time with your family. You're back in Netherlands and stuff. I just think it's really cool that we get to do this virtually international, but you know, we still get to do this stuff. So it's a lot of fun. So I enjoy this stuff. So, and I hope it's not too late there. So
no, it's very decent time.
All righty. Well, Vince, we're going to talk about something really cool, very timely today. We're talking about how banks and credit unions can adapt to adequately serve and attract Gen Z. Now we've heard a lot about this the last few years, but there's a new twist on it now, and it all revolves around kind of the digital innovation and what we've been talking about the last year too. So we're kind of getting two worlds colliding here. So I'm going to start out with the obvious question here, Vince. So what do banks and credit unions need to do to adapt and adequately serve and attract Gen Z? Because it sounds like it's all revolving around digital, obviously.
Yeah. And I can imagine that your listeners and viewers, they might get a little bit annoyed by now because there's always some doom thinking. You know, it was the millennials and now it's the next generation. But there are some real learnings here for sure. And
I think,
you know, outside of just getting to know this audience, it's one thing that I often mention in a boarding conversation, understand that there's a massive transformation of wealth on the horizon, right? And it's obviously shifting predominantly to millennials, but also the Gen Z will be active there. And I personally feel that what millennials have already showed us and what the subsequent generations are telling us, it's really that we have to think differently about our business model, or at the bare minimum as your go-to-market, right? These people don't want high-touch personal stuff. They are self-directed. They want to control how they engage, when they engage, for what topic they engage. Gone are the days where you can say, okay, I just have 80% of what I offer digital and 100% is in the branch, and hoping that people that are interested for that 20% are actually coming in the branch.
Right? Yeah,
they don't. Right. So it's really important to understand that what millennials showcase, but what Gen Y, Gen Z is now really affirming to you, that you have to change your business model and you have to think more digital to the core of your business model instead of just on site. Right. Yeah. And I think that is the biggest adaptation that you can do for sure. Because if you don't, there are a lot of like technical issues that maybe we can dive into in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that leads me to my next question here. So by delaying digital innovation, so how are banks and credit unions, how are they falling behind in delivering these new digital features that appeal to this generation? Because that spells trouble for me if you're delaying this at all, especially what we've experienced the last year.
Yeah, and quite frankly, you know, delaying on the features is one thing, right? But delaying to adapt your business model is a completely different thing, right? If you are repetitively outcompeted with your competitors going to the market with certain features faster, then they are doing something structurally right and you're doing something structurally wrong, right? So let's be very clear on that. So I think building a digital competency is one thing, right? And if you choose to do that with just product ownership and you outsource the rest, fine, right? But at least building that competency in is important. But if that competency is not closely related to how you make your strategic decisions, you're still going to make it move difficult on yourself, right? It's almost like, you know, your competitors or the national brands are already on a moving train.
Exactly.
And you think that if you have the same top speed, that if you hop on that train later, that you can be competitive to them or that you can even beat them.
Yeah.
You're not catching up to that trend.
You're right. Right. You're right.
So whenever I'm in a discussion around these topics, you know, you have a stopgap. You need to act now, right? But you need to act now with a certain foundation in mind that allows you that when the next generation comes along or the next feature comes along, you have a better foundation to act upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, don't play the catch-up game because that might be a losing battle today. So yeah, get on that train.
Most matters.
Right, exactly. So let's talk customer loyalty because that's weaker than ever with Gen Z, according to you guys. So what's going on there?
Well, I blame the lifestyle brands. No, I mean, you probably heard 1,000 people already tell you that that expectations, customer experience expectations are not set by other banks, right? They're set by lifestyle brands, Apple's, Amazon's, Facebook, yeah. Netflix. You probably heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But what is really, really concerning is where a millennial would be patient with you because they understand the power of a community bank or they understand the power of the credit union system. Gen Z, not so much. They mm-hmm. vote with their apps, right? Mm-hmm. And if your app is not giving what they need, they move on to another app. And that loyalty or that lack of loyalty, if you will, it's kind of logical. Right? Because there's a whole generation that even before they can start thinking about settling down and buying a house, they first have to deal with their student loans, right? And then they have to deal with a down payment to a house. So these guys are not even interested in what you foundationally can offer them at a moment of truth mm-hmm. in their financial life cycle mm-hmm. because it's not relevant to them, right? Yeah. So you have that lesser interaction, that lesser knowledge, that lesser respect, maybe even, that really creates a generation that very easily could be pushed to a lifestyle brand.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm as you're talking, I'm thinking about because I'm watching my kids and how their behaviors are toward like just social media apps, you know, because they kind of hop from app to app based on who's where and what's happening and the technology. Because I mean, obviously, way back in the 1800s, there was MySpace. Then, you know, Facebook came, yeah, I know, but then Facebook came out there. Then there was like, you know, obviously Instagram is still pretty, pretty popular. Snapchat, now TikTok. I mean, they just kind of hop from thing. And so that kind of, I kind of relate it to the banking industry. They're going to go wherever they're going to be best served. Right. So, and wherever the digital is or where it's most, most competent, they're going to go. So I think it's that behavior of just, and there's no loyalty. You're right. It's like, I'm just going to go where it's best. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, they vote with their apps, right? It's so easy to take an app, enroll, and if they don't like it, cancel it, go to somebody else, right?
Yeah. It's
super duper easy. There's not that loyalty that holds them back or anything special that you're doing for them because you can't, right? Because they're still paying off student loans. They're still trying to get, making sense of life, if you will. So that bond has not been established yet. So I think, and this is where I think it's predominantly that self-directedness. We spoke about that before. Mm-hmm. It really is like, I want to control when I engage, how I engage, what channel I choose to engage on. Mm-hmm. And I could go to the branch for something simple, but I also maybe on digital want to do something really complex. Mm-hmm. There is no difference anymore for this particular audience. Maybe just convenience at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They have to be aware of that, right? And I think if you focus on that in that way, like how can I create an environment that allows me to innovate? Also, when we as an institution don't have the capacity to innovate, that we still can get our hands on that innovation by either outsourcing it or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant. Like you need that fluidity, much like your business model should give you, you know, your North Star, your purpose. It should also give you a view on how you want to accomplish your or deal with your challenges. And this is one of the main challenges to crack. How do you compete with a national bank or a lifestyle brand?
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of goes back to your previous response too, playing that catch-up game, because this generation, they're not going to wait. They're not going to wait around for you to catch up. They're going to go somewhere else where they're doing it. So yeah, goodness. So let's get to front-end innovation here. So why do banks and credit unions need to focus their efforts on front-end innovation with Gen Z? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think It's an extent to what we already said about, you know, they vote with the app, right? If the app is quirky or doesn't do what they want or doesn't have the capability or feature that they're looking for, they're often completely checked out, right? And we are in the financial industry, we have been thinking about in terms of like security, compliance, roadmaps, and all that type of stuff. And you know, you simply cannot be the institution that comes to market like 2 years after a big national bank came to market, right? So you need to create a way to compete with national banks, either in innovation or in speed. And we actually see it in the Backblaze customer base that there are plenty of our customers that actually think that way. Like, okay, how can we be early adopters, early innovators ourselves, right? And even maybe make it difficult to the national brands that have established themselves in my market. And this is, you know, again, I don't want to beat this to death, right? But if you're not selling them a car loan or not a mortgage, which is typically one of the things that, you know, community banks and credit unions thrive on, right? This is not that audience. This is the audience of deposit accounts, financial advice, maybe a credit card, right? So you have to think about that dynamic a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So being relentlessly focused, maybe not so much about the experience, but about how do you generate that experience? How can you orchestrate value out of your own institution, the fintech institute players that deliver value? How can you orchestrate that into a comprehensive solution that actually helps people? Mm-hmm. That's going to be a real question.
Yeah. And this is just going to, you know, obviously this topic's not going to go away anytime soon. So it's always going to be there, especially as the Gen Z group kind of gets into their prime earning years too. It should be really interesting to see what happens there. Any other tips or advice, Vince, here? Because this is a topic that we could talk about probably for another 2 hours, but I know you have a job to do, so I don't want to monopolize your time. But anything like that?
First of all, I always love to engage with your listeners on these topics. So you can always reach out to me on LinkedIn or something like that. Love to learn, but also love to share what I know. But I think, you know, let's be honest, digital can get complex really fast, right? Because it's not just the capabilities and the features that you're bringing to market. You know, there will be people screaming to you about agile or journey mapping or cloud or, you know, how do we package this for our regulators? And, you know, so many of these different topics that kind of seem to snowball there. But I would really say there are recipes out there that are by now proven that you can quickly adopt, right? Just follow the best practices, right? You know, things like be selective on your code base. Don't create a hodgepodge of technologies because that's tomorrow's legacy, right? So be sound on that because it upgrades easier. You can adopt new innovation faster and really try to find people that offer that proven innovation engine. And this is different than a proven implementation. Because that's table stakes, right? We shouldn't even be worried about that in our risking model, right? We should say, okay, if we go through this, how much innovation power do we truly have? And where's that innovation coming from, right? And, you know, the last piece of advice I have, don't start doing your own cloud. Don't start doing your own DevOps. DevOps is a fancy word for overpaid people. I know that their whole industry is angry with me now, but they make a ton of money. It's one of the fastest growing disciplines within IT. You don't want to be locked into that race because how as a bank can you compete with some of those tech firms and how can you retain that talent? How can you stay stable that way? Just outsource it, right? There are plenty of models there. And if you do it right, you're building a nice stack that functionally completely own the deployment you still own, but somebody else does the heavy lifting. I think those are some of the things that, you know, I just engaged with the bank. And actually, I was talking to the CEO and the CTO, and they were outlining their plan, right? And they were talking about, you know, first we're going to update the core, and then we're going to create a services layer, and then we're going to put all of that into the cloud. And I asked them just one question. How long will that take?
Yeah.
Right. And they said, well, it's probably like a three and a half year program. And I said, what will happen in the meantime with your innovation and CX? Well, yeah, we can't touch it because we first need to do those foundational things. And I was completely flabbergasted and probably they saw it on my face. I said, you're spinning the world upside down.
Yeah,
you first need to take a look, like what does your customer or your member need? Address that piece. integrate loosely to all those things in the back end, and then start cleaning up that back end, because that gets you innovation power from day one. And luckily, they executed against that advice, and they've been live in 4.5 months.
Oh, wow. Better than 3 years.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the age of now, and it needs to happen now. So totally get it. Good stuff, Vince. All right, man. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Thank you so much for this information. I love the new twist on this topic, because I think people are still very, very aware that Gen Z, obviously millennials as well, are prime targets for the future of their institutions. So this is super important stuff here. So we appreciate the expertise, always.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.